This morning I'd like to speak to you from God's Word concerning a dynamic of the church which for the most part often goes unnoticed, and rightfully so. But the Word of God has much to say about this aspect, about this dynamic of the church in regards to those who serve the head of the church, the Lord of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for her, Ephesians 5:25 says. The church is a body of baptized believers, called out ones, with that inward effectual call that transforms them into a new creature in Christ and translates them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is the body. It is the visible manifestation of Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. The body follows the thinking, follows the seeing, the direction in which the head leads. The hierarchy of the church is he's the head and we're the body. That's it. This was brought about when Christ was raised from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:20 says. Ephesians 1:21 continues to say, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he has put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 22 and 23. The church is the visible manifestation of Christ's body, and Christ is the head of that body. Ephesians 5:23 clearly says, Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Colossians 1:18 says, he is the head of the body, the church, so that he himself might have first place in everything. And all through Scripture it is taught that Christ is the head of the church, and the church is his body. Colossians 2:10 says, we have been made complete in him, and he is the head over all rule and authority. I want you to know that Christ is very much alive, ruling and reigning in his church. The Lord said he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The head of the church is building his church. He is directing his true church. He is caring for his church. He is sanctifying and setting apart his church for holy purposes. He is protecting his church from false doctrine and false teachers. Christ is the great shepherd of his church. The Hebrew writer in his benediction in his last chapter in Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Jesus even called himself the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, John 10:11. And he said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, John 10:14. The Apostle Peter, referring to Christ, writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. Some of Christ's last words to the Apostle Peter were, you say you love me, well, tend my sheep. You say you love me, well, feed my lambs. You say you love me, shepherd my sheep. The Lord was very concerned about his people. John 21:15 through 17, if you want to read that. Christ is the head of the church. He is the good shepherd who loved the church and laid down his life for the sheep of the church. He is the great shepherd and the guardian of our souls. And in light of his departure and the promise of his return, he entrusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. He entrusted the care of the church to under shepherds who will tend his lambs and shepherd his sheep. There are many since the apostles that engage in that ministry in various capacities, for the most part often unnoticed and rightfully so. There are many who serve in the church and do it for the love of their Savior and for God's people with no thought of any recognition. Much goes on behind the scenes that make up the various ministries of the church and those who serve in various capacities. The Lord has placed sovereignly in his church those with various giftedness to serve in the capacity that he has placed upon their hearts. Paul writes to the church at Rome, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly." Romans 12:4 through 6. The chief shepherd has entrusted the leading, the feeding, the protecting of his lambs and sheep to under shepherds, whom you read in the Bible as pastors or elders or overseers, all referring to the same person, just different functions that he does as he shepherds the church. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church and said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor-teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ." Ephesians 4:11-12. Apostles have come and gone. The prophets have come and gone. The evangelists have written their gospels. And now the Lord has given to the church pastors-teachers who are evangelistic in their ministries, but they're pastor-teachers, they're shepherds, they're under-shepherds under the great shepherd. The church is led by these under-shepherds for the chief shepherd. As I said, that word pastor, poimen, is often translated shepherd in its Greek verb form. Shepherd the flock of God, as you will hear. Some of Apostle Peter's last words before he was crucified upside down were to these under-shepherds, as he himself was. His days were numbered, and he knew it, but not without this exhortation of 1 Peter 5:1 and following. He said, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." 1 Peter 5:1-4. Peter's words were to the elders, to shepherd the flock of God among you. The Apostle Paul, some of his last words before his and during his Roman imprisonment were to under shepherds. In Acts 20, he called the Ephesian elders together and he told them, "Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Acts 20:28. Those were some of Paul's parting words to those Ephesian elders that he knew he would never see again. We just read a little while ago, "The Lord is my shepherd, is he not? Psalm 23:1. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd of his flock, and that is the church. The Lord has placed within his church, by divine sovereign providence, under shepherds who will shepherd the flock of God, which the Holy Spirit has made overseers for the Lord's church. He is the head. They are the members of the body, placed in this capacity to serve the Lord for the Lord's people, because the Lord is concerned about his church. They are called to lead and feed and protect the Lord's flock, to tend his sheep, to feed his lambs, to shepherd his sheep. How does he do that? How does the Lord do that? How does the Lord place these under shepherds? How does, when he left and he had these apostles and he taught these apostles that now you're to feed, lead, and protect my sheep, but one day they're going to leave, so they must pass on the baton. How does that happen in the church? How does the church keep going and the Lord raise up shepherds, under shepherds, that come into this capacity of service? Well, I want you to know they come from within the body of Christ, the church. They come from within. They don't come from without. They come from within. They come, they become part of a fellowship, they serve, they minister, and then the Lord raises them up and they become under shepherds. They come from within the church. They are members of that body of Christ, gifted by grace and led by the Holy Spirit to lead, feed, and protect the Lord's flock. I want you to look at a very important text of Scripture that has been very dear to my heart and speaks of the calling that the Lord has placed upon my heart for his church. The books of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, are called pastoral epistles because the Apostle Paul wrote to these two pastors, whom he would later install as pastors, Timothy in Ephesus and Titus on Crete. The Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, and he said, I left you in Crete that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders, pastors-teachers, these under-shepherds, in every church as I have directed you, Titus 1:5. The text of Scripture I want us to look at that tells us how Titus did that, what he was told to do. How did Titus go there and appoint elders in every city as Paul had directed him? Well, in 2 Timothy, Paul's final words to his disciple, not long before the Lord would take Paul home to glory, the Apostle Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, and listen to what he has to say. This is Paul's last, so to speak, dying words. He's soon to be beheaded, and this is his last dying words to his disciple, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The Apostle Paul instructs Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. I'm going to leave. I know you're young. You got this tremendous burden of the church that you love. The Lord has called you to be an under shepherd. I want you to be strong. Timothy is to remember who called him into this shepherding service and by whose grace he was able to serve in that capacity. This is the Lord's doing. The Lord has used me to disciple you and minister to you and groom you and prepare you to be an under-shepherd. The Lord has done that. The Apostle Paul had poured into Timothy a lot of scriptural knowledge. The Apostle Paul had poured into Timothy his life. He had taught him the gospel of grace in Christ alone, plus nothing. I'm sure Paul reminded Timothy of the same exhortation the Lord gave Joshua in the Old Testament as he served as the Lord's servant to his people. Joshua 1:7. These are almost reminiscent of Paul's words to Timothy. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's what Paul's telling Timothy here. The aged apostle Paul is exhorting young Timothy after his departure to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he says in verse 2, "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." These things and the things, all the truths of the gospel I taught you, Timothy, all the attributes of the Godhead, all the truth about the incarnation, the hypostatic union of the God-man, two natures in one person, the truths of eschatology, about the rapture, about the tribulation, about the second coming, the truths about the church, the ecclesiology, and how the church is to be governed by spiritual gifted men, spiritually mature men, skilled in the word of God, who are led by the Holy Spirit to be under shepherds, to lead his church. The things, Paul calls, "I have not withheld from you the whole counsel of God," he told the Ephesian elders, "which you have heard from me as you accompanied me on my missionary journeys," and Titus did, "as we visited and traveled through Asia Minor and Macedonia, planting churches, preaching in synagogues, seeing the Lord save souls, and building his church." All those things, Timothy, that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. All those people, over all that time, what you have heard from me, the apostle to the Gentiles. These things which you have heard and learned, Timothy, I want you to entrust to others what I entrusted to you. I want you to entrust to others what I entrusted to you. Paul already told Timothy in the beginning of his letter here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." 2 Timothy 1:13 and 14. Paul already told Timothy in his first letter to him in 1 Timothy what this treasure is which has been entrusted to him. Paul writes, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which I have been entrusted." 1 Timothy 1:11. He reminded Timothy again in that first letter, "O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you," as he closed his letter in 1 Timothy 6:20. So, here in this 2 Timothy, Paul's final letter to him, when he says in the last chapter of this book, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. The time of my departure has come." In his concluding words to Timothy in this book, Paul, as you can see, is concerned about the church. He's fought a good fight. He has finished his ministry. He has kept the faith. He is about to depart, and he is concerned about the church. And so he gives this instruction to Timothy about the under-shepherds of the church. And he says to them, the things that you've heard and seen, all the times you've been with me, and all that I've poured into you, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul wants Timothy to keep his eyes out for those faithful men in the church. Timothy, as you minister to the church, as you pastor that church, you're going to notice faithful men. You're going to notice those that have shown themselves and proven themselves to be faithful servants. Over and over and over, they're going to show themselves to you. The Lord's going to reveal them to you. Those who have proven themselves faithful in the capacity they are serving in now. Timothy was to follow the same pattern as Paul discipled him. Paul noticed Timothy's faithfulness, and Paul took Timothy under his wing and discipled him and groomed him to be an under-shepherd for the great shepherd. Timothy was to take the Holy Scriptures that he learned and teach it to others, and that those faithful men, that the Lord, by divine sovereign providence, will begin to equip for the work of the ministry. He said, that's going to happen. That's how the Lord builds his church. He brings up the leadership from within, from faithful men, who, like Timothy, who Paul was passing the baton to, Timothy could, in like pattern, pass on the gospel of grace and sound doctrine to faithful men he could entrust to. These would in turn later also entrust to faithful men also. And it just, the chain would keep going. Paul to Timothy. Timothy to faithful men. Faithful men to others who will pass on the gospel truth to others. Generation by generation by generation. This is the way the Lord leads, feeds, and protects his church. This is the way that the Lord pastors his church through under-shepherds. This is the way the Lord builds his church. He brings them. They hear the gospel. They get saved. He gifts them. He uses them. He grows them. Conformed in the image of Christ. They become spiritually mature. They become grounded in Scripture. They serve in the church. They become faithful in the church. The Lord raises them up and says, now I want you to serve my people. They are not on the top of the ladder. They're at the very bottom. The servant's always at the bottom. And the way that you can tell that you are a servant of Christ and you have a servant's heart is when people treat you like a servant and you respond like a servant. Because that's what you are. You are the shepherd, under shepherd for the great shepherd. The church is to raise up under shepherds from within the church. And I am committed to that ministry. There is to be a discipling process always going on in the church. This church is committed to that process. This is the way the chief shepherd has designed to build his church and to have his sheep led, fed, and protected by faithful men who can be entrusted with the treasures of God's word and pass it on to the next generation. So the church will continue to grow and be maintained and be healthy in sound doctrine. This is done by the head of the church. He's the head, we're the body. He's the great shepherd, he's the good shepherd, he's the chief shepherd. And he's the one that calls and entrusts these men because he knows he can entrust it to them because they'll entrust it to others. This is my heart's desire. This is my heart's desire. To pour my life into faithful men, entrusting them to carry on, to shepherd the flock of God which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. Let me tell you something. We already have too many in the contemporary Christianity that have no business serving in the church in that capacity. They don't follow the scriptural instructions. They're not faithful men. They don't meet the biblical qualifications. We already have too much of that. One of the reasons is because they're not following this directive right here. The Lord's church is... The Lord's instruction to his church is to take divine revelation, teach it, be a discipler, make disciples, entrusting all you know to faithful men whom the Lord is raising up within the church, so that others will learn the truths of God's word and the Lord's church will be ministered to. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible teaches. I've taken this text of scripture to heart. And I have been blessed to be able to disciple faithful men within this church. Faithful men who I've entrusted with the things which I have heard and learned in the presence of many witnesses. One such man is Ed Meza, as you know, a faithful servant of the Lord, has served this church from his very inception, has done many, many things behind the scenes that you never know of, has prayed with me and poured out tears for you and for this church. Many, many times we've prayed together. You wonder why Ed prays long like he does, because that's how he prays. He just gets lost in praying to the Lord. It's been my pleasure to take Ed under my wing and disciple him like Paul did Timothy. And he has been an under-shepherd of this church, and he's been faithful. Currently, I'm in the process of discipling Daniel Bugarev, as you know, another faithful man. And I'm discipling him. Discipled Ed, and Ed was ordained by other pastors as we grilled him in the scriptures. And he has proven himself faithful to the Word of God and to God's people. And Daniel's coming up from within the church, and it's a matter of time before he'll find himself in that capacity. And I'm sure the Lord was going to raise up more. That's the way we're going to do it. We're going to do God's business God's way. This is the way God said to do it. And when that's in place, then the church is in good hands. Then whoever the Lord brings is going to be ministered to by faithful men who have been entrusted with God's word. As you know, Ed and Rochelle and Ali are moving to the mainland, as you know. And I've had the blessing and joy to live and experience what Paul is telling Timothy in this passage of Scripture. I've lived this passage of Scripture. I understand what Paul is telling Timothy here. I've lived this. I've done this. I've seen the fruit of this. This is the way to do it. This is God's way. This is God's way. My very words to Ed before he comes up here and gives the church his farewell, final farewell words is this text. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men also, that they may be able to teach others also. That's my encouragement to you, Word, Ed. What greater legacy than to pour your life into faithful men, entrusting them to carry on the baton for the Lord and his church, wherever they may go. Ed, my son in the faith, you come.
Good morning, church. First, let me apologize for my Hawaiian time and getting here. It always seems like it's not a difficult thing to do to just leave any place or to just tell people, nice meeting you, nice knowing you, thank you for your friendship, and thank you for all that you share with me and so on. But when it comes to church, that is totally different. As I heard Pastor Dale in this morning's sermon, my mind was just going everywhere at the same time, listening to him and thinking, should I say what I wrote? Should I say what I think I should say, or I thought I should say this morning while I was up last night? It is of no less importance to me to say goodbye to my church as it is to just say goodbye to a stranger. Hope I was clear with that. It is nothing less to me, but it is of great importance, because being in a church is a place where one grows spiritually, where one shares moments with each other, where one prays together, where one entrusts each other with their lives, I guess you could say. As an under-shepherd, and as how our pastor has said this morning, the under-shepherds should care for each and every one of you, should care for how you live, should care for what you hear, should care for whatever it is that's on your mind, on your hearts, and for them to hear you out and for them to guide you, give you advice. But in the midst of that, we don't glorify ourselves. We don't think of ourselves as, all right, I made it, or I am the under shepherd that I'm supposed to be here. No. It is a privilege, and it is a responsibility, and it's a serious one as well. Because if you heard Pastor Dale in the sermon this morning, it is of great importance to pour out yourself what God has taught you, what God has taught the elder, what God has revealed to him, to show others, to teach others in depth, not just on a superficial level. And Pastor Dale has done that to me, to Daniel, and to many others that have sat along with us and are no longer with us, either because they moved away or for other reasons. But the door was always open, and the door remains open to all those men, to all those who want to learn, who want to eventually pour out themselves to others. I'm grateful for our pastor. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful to God who put me in a path to be here. And it's because of him we're here, not because of our own doing. Yes, we have the faculties to think. We have the faculties to discern, to rationalize, should I go here, should I go there? But it's in the heart that God places those desires that are for him, where he will be glorified, where he will be honored. And in this church, that honor has been shown by your love towards each other, by our pastor preaching the word as it is written. And I would like to say that this has been a more than just a fabulous, but something beyond my thought of where I would ever be in life. And it could never have been done without God in the midst of my life and in the midst of my family altogether. As you know, some of you might know my background is... Just to keep it brief here for you, because I'm supposed to take not too long. But I come from a very sort of rural town in Central America where hope is beyond the reach. Hope is beyond the grasp at times, and hope is beyond any idea. And all I can say is that God will do anything for those who are elect. God will save those who are his. God will put you in a direction where he will be honored if you're one of his elect. I'm here. I'm here. I'm saved. I'm repented. I ask for forgiveness. I want to serve. And I've always had a desire to serve, and I've always had a desire to be in a position sort of the one I'm in, but never gave it much thought because I was saying to myself, I don't think I'm just good enough. But that is not what it's all about. It's the pouring that was done in me. It is the teaching that I received from various men, but mainly our pastor. Our pastor has truly and honorably has taught both of us, Daniel and I, what scriptures are all about, what God has to say. And he is encouraging all through God's word. He also gives us serious and earnest advice on the sidelines here. Don't do this, don't do that. You get engaged by this kind of people, say this, say that. He's always looking out for us. He is. And here, the times at Grace Church have been memorable. The memories, as Pastor said, go back to the early days of the gathering at his home. The Wednesday night Bible studies, the Sunday worship services that began out of that, and eventually to be here in this facility. And the knowledge that our pastor has given me will be treasured. It will be treasured. I've sat under different men in the past, but our pastor has shown to me that he knows what it is that he has been shown by God. He knows exactly how to go about to discern, to take a verse, a passage, break it down for us, and make sense out of it. It sounds easy, but there's been times when I say, I think I know what he's talking about, but then he says things that I had no idea were there in the text. That's God revealing to him, then in turn, he teaching us what God has revealed to him. And as he has said earlier, it is that chain that continues on, and I want to continue on. Being an under-shepherd is no easy task, as I've learned. It is one that requires great preparation. It is one that requires support. It is one that requires faith in God, devotion, a lot of times, sometimes by yourself, where you know it is the best time for you and God to be alone in prayer, to come up with the different thoughts and things that you're going to say. But church, this church is growing. This church still has more to grow. There's been many people that have come and left. I still remember Fito and his family coming for the first time. I remember Rita, her first coming here, Dean and Malia as well, the Bowman family, Keone and his family, Wally recently. They've all stayed. And God will send many here to this church. But I say to you, church, welcome them with love. Welcome them as you should. God's will is for all of us to love one another. Leviticus 19:18 teaches us that. So does John 13:34 and 1 John 3:11. 1 Peter 4:8 as well. Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And as a church, we must also love those who don't believe, those who come in here perhaps wondering what's going on in here. Matthew 5:44 says to love your enemies. Luke 6:27 includes love those who hate you. God himself is even kind to ungrateful and evil men, as Luke 6:35 says. That is our prime example there of what kind of love we should have. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, Paul tells the church, and he says to them, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. This was his prayer for them. Further on, Paul outlines instructions for growth, for their own growth, Thessalonica. He wants them to continue to grow. He outlines this growth in verses 1 through 12. But in brief, you are already walking. You're walking as to please God, this church. But as Paul says, do it even more. Do it even more. Abound more. Allow that love, allow that grace, allow that desire to just abound even more beyond the borders of what we might consider we've reached capacity. Go beyond that. Love even more. Do it to the point of overabundance. As Paul says in that passage, excel still more. Excel more. But through what? What and how? Live holy. Live holy in love, church. To grow, we must have the character, and that character is of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us. He still does. He lived a holy life. He is our prime example. Verses 1 through 12 in the passage I mentioned of Thessalonians, this was a pattern or instructions for a growing church. But this church in Calama Valley, as I said, is a growing church. The set example in this passage is how church will grow to remain a healthy church. But as Paul begins, before he gets to telling them how to live that life, how to be a growing church, Paul started with prayer. And I will continue to pray for the church, for this church in particular, for the growth of it, for the ability to continue and to reach out to the community, to proclaim the gospel continually from this pulpit and nothing else. The church can grow beyond measure. And I call to all the men here in the church to step up and lead. And the women as well. The women are nothing less. The women can lead and teach other women. The younger women. But the church needs a plurality of elders, as our pastor has so many times told us. We need a plurality of elders here in this church. Daniel is but one. Our pastor is but another one. So men, I ask you to pray about what it is that you're supposed to be doing in the church. Pray, seek the Lord's guidance, and He will reveal it to you in your heart. That desire will come to your heart to do things here in the church. And let Pastor Dale know. Let him know what it is that you have in your heart that you want to do. Pastor Dale loves us very much. He has expressed that repeatedly, verbally, but he also shows it. He has shown me his love, his care, personally. He has shown us just beyond measure, I would say. He continually reminds us that He loves each and every one of us. I will miss the church. I will miss every single one of you. It's hard for me not to get emotional. It's hard for me not to feel the sadness that comes with leaving the church. I will miss the brotherly love shown and expressed. But don't forget, I'll continue to pray for you. I'll continue to pray for the church. And if God wills it, we'll return. I've enjoyed being an elder here at this church. And just keep in mind that the elders here are not paid staff. We do it out of love. We do it out of obedience to God, and we do it because we love you. We do it because we want to be obedient. We do it because we want to learn even more, because we know that during that time of being alone with the Lord, it's time for us to learn even more. So we abound. We abound not just in coming here on Sundays and saying hi to each other, but we should have the desire to abound even more in fellowship with our Lord, knowing that reading the scriptures, studying, will make all that scripture dwell richly in us. It will abound in us, and it will pour out of us to all of you and to those next to you. We love what we do as elders. We care for all of you. I'm thankful to God for the ability to have been an elder here, because He's the one that's placed me here. I will take all the teaching from my pastor. I will take all of his examples. I will take all that I know and all that I've heard you express to me and allow it to build me up even more. God's word is what builds us up. The teachings that we give to each other. Continue to be an example to those around you, around this community. Remember, whatever you do and say, the world is watching, and even more so these days. My family and I will miss you. We will look for a church, but for a church that is preaching God's word and nothing else. Where Christ is proclaimed, where Christ is proclaimed as Savior and nothing else, through grace, by faith. Continue to pray for us, I ask. We're going into a place where, as you know, it is, I don't know how to say it, but it's in a stir, if I could put it that way. Political views are everywhere, and you can be seen as a stain if you don't agree with them. I'll try my hardest just to keep my mouth shut when it comes to that and do nothing but just be an example to them. Continue to pray for us, as I asked. We'll miss you dearly. We'll miss you all very much. I want to say I love you all. And may the Lord continue to bless you greatly and abundantly here at Grace Church. Thank you all.
We're going to send this family off in prayer as the church together can pray for them. We're going to give them a lay and show them our appreciation and love. The Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. And I cannot think of anything better than honor this family who's faithfully served the Lord's church here for what? Going on over 3 years now. Going on 4 years. We're just a baby church. And we're growing little by little. Let's pray together. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the relationship that you restored when you gave your Son to die on a cross for us. You reconciled us back to you. Not only did you forgive us of our sins, but you then adopted us into the family, and you made us our children. And now we have a loving relationship with you. One of the greatest experiences in life, Father, is the relationships that we have one with another, with our spouses, which is a picture of Christ and the church, and the families, which is a picture of the blessing and the fruitfulness of that church and that family, and our friends and relatives, and all that you bring into the church that becomes brothers and sisters in Christ. It is the relationships that we'll remember the most, and it is the relationships that will endure, that one day when we're in glory, we'll be with each other for eternity, and our relationships will never end. And I thank you for the privilege that we've had, Father, to have a loving relationship with this family, the Meza family, and Rochelle and little Ali, and see her birth and brought into this world, and know that she's in good hands with a Christian mom and dad. I pray, Father, that you would be pleased to bless them. And I know it's by grace, and I know we don't deserve your blessings. You do it because you're a God of love and grace and mercy, and it pleases you to make trophies of grace out of lost sinners, to raise them up and show them what your grace can do in transforming lives. And as this church gathers together and prays, we all pray for this family, Lord, that you would protect them as they travel, that you would protect them in their new location, that you would guide them and give them wisdom from your word that they would apply in every circumstance, and that you would help them be led to a Bible-believing, scriptural teaching church that honors Christ and exalts him and honors your word and glorifies you, Father. And Father, I pray that you would plant them, let them blossom wherever they're planted and grow and serve in another capacity as they turn the page to a new chapter in their life. Our hearts go with them, and we'll miss them, Father. And that is the way it is. we come and we go and we launch off into eternity. Thank you, Father, for the time we've had together, and we entrust them to you and to your care, and we're confident that you will bless them. Thank you again. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.